MGM. This is the theme song to the BBC's version of Sherlock Holmes with Peter Cushing as Sherlock Holmes. And during October, during the month of Halloween, the name Peter Cushing, I believe, should be mentioned every single day, perhaps every hour. I happen to worship Peter Cushing. He was my hero when I was a kid. When I got into horror movies for the first time, he became the guy that I just idolized. And he spent time playing Sherlock Holmes. And we're going to get all the details on how you can see that and see the movies and the TV versions of Sherlock Holmes that he played with our resident Sherlock Holmes expert, Bob Madea, who is also a screenwriter and an editor. And we're going to talk about that and some other scary things that Sherlock Holmes had to go up against, including horror monsters. And we'll touch also on the partnership between Peter Cushing and the great Christopher Lee. And we welcome Bob to the show. Hello, Bob.
Hey, Nick. Thanks for having me back.
Welcome back, sir.
And best of the holiday season to you.
Yes. Thank you very much. Yes, it is the holiday season as far as I'm concerned. Yes. So remind everybody how you got into Sherlock Holmes and became such a fan and such an expert.
Yeah, I was. I got into mysteries pretty young, a kid, the Hardy Boys, Nancy Drew, Three Investigators, and then the pastor of my church in St. Mary's, of St. Mary's, Mokena, in obviously Mokena, Illinois. Mm-hmm. He gave me a copy of the Adventures and the Memoirs by Sir Arthur Conan Doyle, and that's when I started really reading them. But I had seen a TV version, well, of course, the Basil Rathbone ones, which aired on WGN Channel
yeah,
9.
Sure.
So I watched those every so often. But they weren't very faithful. And they usually didn't show The Hound of the Baskervilles and The Adventures of Sherlock Holmes. They showed the supposed modern-day version Holmes at that time, which were filmed in the 1940s.
Right.
During World War II and then a few years after. And so they were technically, at that time, modern day, even though I was watching them in the 70s.
Right.
And,
right.
That was my introduction. I watched the Stuart Granger Hound of the Baskervilles, which was made for television one night when I was sick. And my mom recommended a story I would probably like. And I remember asking her, is it scary? And she says, yeah, I think it could be kind of scary. And the Hound of the Baskervilles actually is a pretty chilling story. It's not the kind of scary that people are used to nowadays, but you know, moody, atmospheric, and if you watch today, it's really a horrible film with bad acting, bad sets, bad direction, and but as a little kid I really liked it.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, once I got into the books, started collecting, and I've been collecting ever since, and that's well over 40 years.
Wow.
And I told you guys before, we just moved into our house. My collection now has its own room.
Nice.
And there's I know I've been on the show a number of times and have tried to get you an accurate number of books, and I thought I was near 1,000 books.
Mm-hmm.
I was well over 1,100 when I finally count them.
Wow. Over 1,100 Sherlock Holmes books, and you have them all in one room now.
All in one room, yeah.
Wow, that's great. That's really great. Wife supportive of this, Bob?
She has really no other choice. But once you see the collection in all its glory. But no, she's very supportive, and she's made me a number of things that go into the collection. She's quite, she does a lot of craft work. She made me a beautiful wall hanging, which is kind of like quilt, mm-hmm. but much smaller. And she crochets, and she made me a beautiful crocheted line of Sherlock Holmes that's prominent in the collection, and a number of other little things that are in
yeah.
the collection as well.
Yeah, it's kind of nice. We've talked about this before, and we as you know, you were talking about, Bob, we want to focus, because it's Halloween time, so we want to focus on Peter Cushing's tenure and some of the monsters that Sherlock Holmes has faced in the past. But it's really kind of great, Bob, we've talked about this, the resurgence in popularity of Sherlock Holmes in so many different ways and so many different venues.
Right. Elementary just started its fifth season.
Wow, fifth? Wow, that show's been on five seasons. Wow.
So, yes, starting the fifth season this year.
Wow!
And I still really love that show. Of course, you know, you've heard my praise of Lucy Liu.
Yes,
as basically eye candy. But she's very intelligent as an actress. You don't get the belief that that's the only reason she's there is because she's so attractive.
Right.
It's just a definite plus on that show. So she's a character all her own on the show, intelligent and, again, probably my favorite Watson simply to look at. But so I really like that show. And this January, we finally have the return of Sherlock with Benedict Cumberbatch.
Right.
And, that is promised to be an extremely dark series. Only episodes, once again.
Yes.
But it's supposed to be a dark series of three episodes. The producers are not giving any details as to what it is involved in it, although their rumor has come out that Watson and Mrs. Watson have a child.
Oh.
So we don't know if that's actually in there or if someone was holding a baby and had a picture taken.
See, yeah. Well, those are some of the ways that you can experience Sherlock Holmes right now. Now, we're going to take a break, Bob, and go to the news. And when we come back from the news, we're going to start talking about Peter Cushing as Sherlock Holmes and reminisce about that. And we'll talk about some of the actual, like, horror monsters that Sherlock has had encounters with. And then we'll talk a little bit about the 22 films that Peter Cushing made with Christopher Lee. One of them was The Hound of the Baskervilles. So hang on a second, Bob, okay?
Okay.
All right, Bob Badia is with us. He's our Sherlock Holmes expert. We're going to talk about the great Peter Cushing as Sherlock Holmes and more after the news. If you want to jump in with talk or text questions, 312-981-7200. Hi, good morning, everybody. Welcome back to the show. I'm Nick DiGilio, your overnight dude. 2 to 5 a.m. here on 720 WGN. We are live in the Allstate studio on the 7th floor of the Trib Tower overlooking beautiful Michigan Avenue. And coming up after 3 o'clock news, Phil Donlin with Movember is going to join us. Movember.com, a very important organization and foundation that raises money, tons of money, for charities that show awareness for men's health. And the idea is, if you want to participate in Movember as a guy, shave completely clean-faced on November 1st, and then just continue throughout the month just to grow a mustache. And you get a Movember page. You document the progress of your mustache, and you raise money by doing certain things on your page and getting contributions from your friends and your family, or in my case, listeners as well. I will set my goal. I raised over $1,000 last year doing it, and I hope to raise more this year as well, and I hope you are a part of it. But we'll give you all the details coming up after 3 o'clock about Movember.com. A little bit later on, we're going to talk about what it felt like the first time you ever felt really old, and we will also go to a head-to-head battle between Esmeralda and I again in pop-up video. So that's all coming up. But right now, we're talking to Bob Badia, who is a screenwriter and editor, and he is a Sherlock Holmes expert. And because it's Halloween, we are specifically going to talk about Peter Cushing's tenure, who is one of the kings of all horror, as Sherlock Holmes, and some other sort of scary Halloween-related Sherlock Holmes stuff. And we welcome Bob back to the show. Hello, Bob.
Hello.
So let's talk about the Hound of the Baskervilles from 1959.
Okay.
What are your thoughts on that? And talk about Peter Cushing's portrayal on that one.
Well, that was the first ever color film of Sherlock Holmes' story.
Mm-hmm.
And it was done by the Hammer folks, the guys who gave us, you know, a new Dracula and a new Frankenstein.
Yeah.
And they decided that they were going to try a different series, this being Sherlock Holmes. And they approached Peter Cushing. And this, I thought, was weird because I've obviously never met Peter Cushing in real life. He was about 6 feet tall, so he was a good height for the character. But when you see him in a movie, he seems kind of short. But I think that's only because he's next to the gigantic Christopher Lee,
right?
Who played the Baskerville heir in the movie, Henry Baskerville, and he played against him in Dracula. in a series of Dracula movies already. So
and by the way, this was directed by the great Terrence Fisher.
Yes,
who had directed Horror of Dracula, who had directed Curse of Frankenstein, had worked with these guys, Peter Cushing in particular, many, many, many times. One of the best directors who worked out of Hammer Studios.
Yes, and just a little history on Peter Cushing, though, at least personal history of Peter Cushing. He played Doctor Who. A lot of people don't know that he played Doctor Who, which is also now a very big resurgence.
Yep.
In a movie called Doctor Who and the Daleks, and I'll tell you, I've not seen that movie in years, but I remember having nightmares because of those Daleks.
Yeah.
I was a little kid, and those things freaked me out.
Yeah.
And he also did a movie called The Skull.
Yes.
Which is also not really that scary when I watch it nowadays. But for some reason, I could not close my eyes and not see that thing, the skull in my head, and I just had nightmares all night long. The time I had watched that on, I believe, Creature Feature, in Chicago,
yeah.
And so I mean, this guy had already chilled me a number of times prior to me seeing him in The Hound of the Baskervilles, and it's amazing the difference that he makes in his characters.
Mm-hmm.
When he played Sherlock Holmes, he went through the Conan Doyle stories, and he brought certain little mannerisms to the character in the filming. And so even though he didn't really rewrite the script or anything like that, he kind of rewrote his character a little bit, adding these little flourishes, including costuming. He was the guy who put he had the robe on we call it a robe nowadays. Back then it was a dressing gown.
Right.
Don't really know why it's called that, but because right. you obviously wearing it, not dressing in it, so he wore the dressing gown. And one of the things that I really liked was in this movie, he lights his pipe from a coal in the fire grate. Holmes did that in the stories.
Okay.
So he would use a lit coal to light his pipe. Now, Peter Cushing didn't really smoke. It made him nauseous or nauseated. And he used to have to keep glasses of milk on set. And, I mean, actually on set. So he would hide them. And then he would go and, between takes, have a couple of sips of milk to steady his stomach because the smoke made him sick.
Yeah.
So
that's interesting.
Yeah, it was just a little. But, I mean, that's how dedicated he was to his character. So,
yeah, that's not surprising, knowing how dedicated Peter Cushing was to his craft. And mm-hmm. and also it's not surprising that he didn't enjoy smoking and it made him kind of sick. He was one of these guys that was such an unbelievable gentleman and a very gentlemanly, Englishman. And he'd played these crazy, scientists in movies, or he played Van Helsing and he played Sherlock Holmes in these movies, and these horror movies that are kind of over the top. But in reality, he was a very gentle, quiet Englishman.
Yes. Yeah. Christopher Lee as well.
Yes.
Both of them who played, Peter Cushing was more along the lines of the good guy and Christopher Lee the bad guy, except in The Hound of the Baskervilles, which was also unfortunate because in The Hound of the Baskervilles, this was kind of the downfall of the film. There was no real monster because, you find out it's an actual hound and not a ghostly hound. And Peter Cushing is playing a victim, not the bad guy. And that's kind of what people were used to. So the turnout for the film was not that great. Over the years, it's been seen as, possibly close to a classic.
Mm-hmm.
It's not entirely faithful to the novel. There is a lot of differences, but including the scene with the spider, there's a scene where a tarantula crawls out of Sir Henry's boot onto Christopher Lee's shoulder.
Right.
And I always thought the spider was fake, but I'm told that the one that was on him was actually real. It looks kind of fake, but but they said that it was real, and he had a horrible fear of spiders. And so when you see him sweating and petrified,
yeah,
it's because of his actual fear.
Yeah. Wow. Okay.
So,
use a real tarantula on Chris Lee. That's not...
Yeah.
Jeez. So, as a Sherlock Holmes fan, you actually like this version? Do you like this version?
I do like it. I don't like the different twists they put in it. And also there's... the sets, though, are fantastic. And one of the things that I really like is there's a chapter in the original book called The Man on the Tor. And this is Watson is there alone with Sir Henry, and he's sending letters back to Holmes as to what's going on. And as he's writing these letters, of course, we're reading them. And, we learn what's been going on the moors.
Mm-hmm.
And they go out to investigate a light that they see out on the moor. And while they're out there, they find out that it's the escaped prisoner. While they're out there, Watson spots a guy on a giant rock formation called a tor, and he, sees him there. And it's this beautiful shot of a man in a cape standing silhouetted against what looks like the dying rays of the sun, even though it's supposed to be much later at night. But the shot is so gorgeous.
Yeah,
I wish that I could see that on a big screen. I've never seen this movie on a big screen. But when I was a kid and I first read The Hound of the Baskervilles, and I could see this in my head, that's exactly how I saw it. And no other movie has ever done it. Even the Jeremy Brett series, they show a scene where Watson spies this other person who's been living on the moor, and it's not very well done. But in this movie, that part where Watson realizes there's someone else out here, not just the escaped prisoner, there's somebody else out here, and what is he up to? And
it's nice that you bring that up, Bob, because that's one of the strong suits for many of the Hammer movies is the imagery, because there are images from so many of the Hammer films that have stuck with me as far back as I can remember. And that's, I think, one of the strengths of Terrence Fisher as a director as well. There's some beautiful stuff in those movies. So that's Hounder Backford. Let's talk about the TV series from 65 that, where Peter Cushing played Sherlock Holmes.
Okay. That was just called Sherlock Holmes, and there a lot of the episodes are missing today, but you can still get the Hound of the Baskervilles version of this series, and this was done back in like 1965, I think, was when this was 65 through 68 or something like that. Not sure on all the dates, but they did a study in Scarlet, which was also a really good. A well-done one. The Hound of the Baskervilles looks kind of contained because they filmed on sound stages.
Right.
So you don't get the same majesty that you did with the Hound of the Baskervilles.
Mm-hmm.
Peter Cushing, fantastic, as usual, as Holmes, focuses on the details. The stories are authentic to the original Conan Doyle tales. And... you can enjoy them. I'm not going to take anything away from them. They're not my favorites.
Yeah.
But for the time, I think they were probably done fairly well. And like I said, you get that British made for TV look.
I don't know.
It's soap opera look.
Yeah. No, I know exactly what you mean. Now, The Hound of the Baskervilles is obviously available on DVD. Easily the film version, the 59 version.
Yes.
And there is a package available on DVD for the Sherlock Holmes TV series that has some of the episodes.
Two different ones, actually. The one with Peter Cushing, which is like I said, is very good. And then there was one with Douglas Wilmer.
Right.
And he, in fact, I think this is the same series. He did the first series. Douglas Wilmer did. Who then reprised his role in the Adventure of Sherlock Holmes and Her Brother with the late, great Gene Wilder.
Yeah.
And they approached, after Douglas Wilmer turned down a second series, they approached John Neville, who played Holmes in the excellent A Study in Terror, a film that a lot of people don't get to see. It's rarely shown on television, mm-hmm. but it is on DVD if anybody is interested in hunting that one down.
Okay.
And then they finally came to Peter Cushing, who picked up the part and went with it because he did enjoy playing Holmes in The Hound of the Baskervilles and was looking forward to the continued series, Hammer films. Unfortunately, the poor attendance.
Right.
You know, cut that short.
Yeah. Okay. And let's, before we take a break, tell me about The Masks of Death, which is a TV movie from 1984 where Peter Cushing also played Holmes.
For me, this is my favorite Peter Cushing movie.
Okay, cool.
Of Sherlock Holmes.
Right.
I should say. Because I think he's much better as Van Helsing than he is as Holmes. For some reason, he seems to have more fun as Van Helsing.
Oh, yeah.
Because he's so totally serious as Sherlock Holmes. This one, there's a little bit of fun for him. You know, he's in his retirement age, and this is a story that's being told in about, I think, 8 or 10 years after World War One.
Mm-hmm.
But the story actually takes place just prior to World War One, and Holmes is close to retired, and John Mills plays his Watson, and Baxter is in the movie. It was made for television. And it involves Holmes being brought in on a case where they pull a man from the Thames in London, the River Thames,
right,
who appears to have been frightened to death. And they go to they in their investigation they come across a homeless man who talks about these creatures that he's seen. Bodies of men with faces of pigs. And when you get to the end and you find out what this is that Holmes is investigating, truly chilling.
Hmm.
So it's not a monster movie, but it sounds like that all the way through until, of course, the logical Sherlock Holmes ending.
Okay. So that's Mask of Death. Now, do you know if that's available? Can people get that on DVD?
That's really difficult to find. I was lucky enough to find a copy of it on VHS, and that's the only copy I've ever found.
Okay.
What were those video stores in the mall?
Like a Suncoast video?
Suncoast.
Okay.
So
there might be some.
I came across it there. I bought it. I didn't care if it cost me $50. It was
right.
$9.99.
Right.
But, yeah, that's a hard one to come
across.
That's... It is shown on television every so often, but it may not be called Sherlock Holmes and the Masks of Death, but look for titled The Masks of Death.
The Masks of Death.
1984.
Okay, great. Bob, hang on.
Okay.
Okay, when we come back, more Halloween-themed Sherlock Holmes stuff. And those are we just discussed all the times that Peter Cushing played Sherlock Holmes. And look for it online. The easiest one to get, though, is the 1959 version of The Hound of the Baskervilles. So when we come back, we're going to talk about the actual horror monsters that Sherlock Holmes encountered during his life, or at least incarnation. We'll talk about that more here. Bob Adea is with us at 720 WGN. Morning, everybody. How you doing? Welcome back. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We're live in the Allstate Studio, 7th floor of the Trip Tower. Bob Medea is with us. He's a screenwriter and editor, a Sherlock Holmes expert. We were just talking about all the times that Peter Cushing had played Sherlock Holmes. It's Halloween time, and it's appropriate to talk about Peter Cushing. And we're taking kind of a scary and kind of a horror Halloween kind of a look at Sherlock Holmes. And now we're going to have Bob talk a little bit about the times that Sherlock Holmes actually battled horror monsters, or at least encountered them. Tell us a little bit about some of the times he encountered, he encountered Dracula and other vampires?
Yeah, mainly Dracula.
Okay.
Oddly, the first incident is on the TV show Gilligan's Island, where Gilligan is bitten by a bat and has a dream that he thinks he becomes Dracula, and the professor plays an Inspector Sherlock. And the skipper plays Colonel Watney, his bumbling sidekick. And so that's actually the first the first meeting of Sherlock Holmes and Dracula. But mm-hmm. there's a book out, and this book is, I'm told, has never been out of print for over 20 years, called Sherlock Holmes versus Dracula by Lauren D. Esselman. And it is an excellent novel. It's if you like Sherlock Holmes, or if you like Dracula, but especially if you like them both, this is a book to get.
Okay.
Holmes is drawn into the Dracula case because of a missing person incident, and the characters are all there from the original Dracula novel.
Mm-hmm.
He basically works with Van Helsing, but not at get-go. So he's not. Holmes isn't willing to accept the fact that some guy has come back from the grave to
right.
drink other people's blood and create more vampires.
Right.
But he slowly becomes assured that this is indeed the case, and then he begins working with Van Helsing in this story.
That sounds
and
great.
It's Watson narrates it as usual. But yet it's still kind of scary because they then take different liberties. In fact, Mrs. Watson is kidnapped by Dracula in the book,
mm-hmm.
and there's a lot of chasing through London, and it's really a really good, excellent read.
Okay.
I mean, for anybody who's tried to actually read the Dracula novel, it's not like the movies.
No, it's not. Not at all.
Yeah. It is a classic. And I recommend anyone who hasn't picked this one up, there is an annotated version of Dracula by also a horror friend of mine, Mort Castle. And if you want to learn how to write a horror novel, pick up this book, because the annotation by Mort Castle is fantastic. You can read it as two different books. Read Dracula, then read it again as the annotated version with all of Mort's notes. And it tells you about developing mood and extending plot and creating characters.
Mm-hmm.
It's truly an education.
Great. All right, let's talk, because we're running out of time.
Okay.
He encountered Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde, Jack the Ripper, Frankenstein's monsters, and mummies, and the giant rat of Sumatra. Why don't you tell us about that? What's the giant rat of Sumatra?
The giant rat of Sumatra is a story for which the world is not yet prepared, as it's written in The Sussex Vampire by Sir Arthur Conan Doyle.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, you know what? I'm not positive if it's in The Sussex Vampire, which ends up, that's actually a vampire story by Sir Arthur Conan Doyle, and it's really a very weak Sherlock Holmes story.
Okay.
But beside that, there have been a number of versions of this story, and an author named Boyer, his last name is Boyer, I can't think of his first name off the top of my head, but he did the best version, although it's not really a story the world wasn't prepared for. It tied back in to the Hound of the Baskervilles, and it's a pretty simple mystery to solve, but when you see what this creature is, it's pretty cool.
Okay.
And it actually exists, so that's kind of neat. But there have been a number of other versions of the story, and none of them have really been that great that I could recommend them. But the Boyer story is a pretty good one, and I believe that's still in print if you hunt it down. You can find copies of that one.
And, Bob, you speaking availability, you sometimes speak at schools and libraries, discuss Sherlock
right.
Holmes and screenwriting.
Yeah.
If somebody wants to get in contact, can you quickly tell everybody how that can get
sure.
done?
My email address is the best way to do that, and that is at B, 221 at hotmail.com.
Okay. B, at hotmail.com.
Yes.
Bob, always a pleasure. Thank you so much
always.
For coming on.
Okay.
And we'll do it again soon, okay?
Okay. Happy Halloween.
Thank you. Same to you, Bob. Take care.
Thanks.
All right,
okay,
everybody.
Bye.
There you go. There's Bob Badia, screenwriter, editor, Sherlock Holmes, BBB@hotmail.com if you'd like for him to come to your library or your school and speak. He's a really brilliant guy. All right, we got to take a break here. The news is in 4 seconds.